or any other department's budget to have people who actually work to handle all of these complaints. So interesting, because, you know, of course, it seems to me often that the legislature really doesn't care if it's something that's going to get shifted over to the courts, because the courts get such a budget and they have to deal with it. And of course, anyone who is an attorney here, practicing attorney, as I have been for many years, knows that the judges, there are not enough judges. They're not appointing judges. We had a situation in Essex County that the courts basically closed down as far as litigation other than criminal cases for a long time, and they're talking now about doing it again. They were down 11 judges, and I believe they're still down about 8 judges in Essex County. So what you're saying is here there's new legislation that's going to talk about more cases for the court.
Yes, and it's a policy choice you have to make. If you think this legislation is a good idea, you have to decide not only is it a good idea, but who is going to be in charge of making sure that it's enforced.
Okay. Well, Emily, I think we're pretty much out of time. I'm going to play the news, but thank you very much. I hope you come back another time. And actually, Emily's going to stay for the sports guys because even better than her being an attorney, she went to law school in Wisconsin. And even though she's from Missouri, she's now a Packer fan. And most of the people who know me know that I'm one of the diehard old Packer fans around. So we're going to come back shortly with the sports guys. We'll play the tell you what's coming up in the news first. And thanks again, Emily.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
That if you're rich and powerful, if you're poor and unemployed, you will be treated equally under the law.
That's Bernie Sanders speaking to a crowd in Nevada. He says a fair criminal justice system should be a core principle of the U.S. Polls indicate the race between Hillary Clinton and Sanders is tight in Nevada. Ahead of Nevada's Democratic caucuses, Sanders also called for a boost in the minimum wage at a rally today.
That a $7.25 minimum wage is a starvation wage. Got to be raised to a living wage, $15 an hour over the next few years.
Sanders also argues that faith must be restored in a broken criminal justice system. He says people who are arrested for possession of marijuana could face many years in prison, while those responsible for the 2008 financial meltdown remain free. This is USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
When you first get your coffee in the morning, it's piping hot. But then it starts to cool down, and then it becomes totally lukewarm before turning cold. Sad and cold. But if you got an extra large coffee from 7-Eleven in our Stay Hot cup, it would stay hot a lot longer, not sad and cold. Get delicious, hot and fresh 7-Eleven coffee in our Stay Hot cup for an even hotter price. Plus tax where applicable, limited time offer at participating locations.
The latest person to clash with Donald Trump is the Holy Father. Here's USA's Chris Barnes with details.
I'm a very good Christian.
Pope Francis calling out Republican Donald Trump for his stance on illegal immigration, telling reporters in Mexico that anyone who thinks just about building walls and not building bridges is not a Christian. Trump says the Pope questioning his faith is disgraceful.
I'm proud to be a Christian, and as president, I will not allow Christianity to be consistently attacked and weakened.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Meanwhile, the Vatican says Pope Francis's comments were not meant to be a personal attack. A spokesman says the Pope just believes it's better to help migrants rather than build walls to shut them out. A spokesman for Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz says all political pictures are altered to some degree. Rick Tyler was defending a fake picture of rival Marco Rubio shaking hands with President Obama used by the Cruz campaign. The Texas senator is facing other challenges on the campaign trail as well. This is USA Radio News.
When you first get your coffee in the morning, it's piping hot. But then it starts to cool down, and then it becomes totally lukewarm before turning cold. Sad and cold. But if you got an extra large coffee from 7-Eleven in our Stay Hot Cup, it would stay hot a lot longer, not sad and cold. Get delicious, hot and fresh 7-Eleven coffee in our Stay Hot Cup for an even hotter price. Plus tax where applicable, limited time offer at participating locations.
Losing weight and keeping it off involves discipline. More now from USA's Anthony Lucero.
Well, we all know that losing weight and keeping it off involves discipline, but registered dietitian Lisa Caddick says that you can jumpstart your chances by eating a healthy breakfast every day.
According to the National Weight Control Registry, they found that 78% of people who lost weight and kept it off eat breakfast.
Caddick says staying hydrated is also important, especially since people commonly mistake hunger for thirst. She says while water is a great choice, a low-calorie beverage that tastes sweet can help with your sugary food cravings. Caddick also notes that while counting calories can be important for weight loss, so are habits like taking the stairs instead of the elevator and making sure that you get plenty of sleep. I'm Anthony Lucero.
The Department of Justice is demanding that Apple comply with a court order to decrypt the cell phone of a San Bernardino shooter in a motion filed today. Earlier in the day, a federal judge gave the company an extra 3 days to answer the order to in court. Apple CEO Tim Cook says the Department of Justice request is a threat to customer security and would have far-reaching legal ramifications. To Kill a Mockingbird author Harper Lee is dead at 89. Lee won a Pulitzer Prize for her 1961 coming-of-age story about race in Southern society. It was turned into a movie starring Gregory Peck in 1962. The Chicken McGriddle is McDonald's latest offering. The savory breakfast sandwich is a fried chicken and pancake combo infused with maple syrup. Central Ohio is the lucky test market. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a
friend. Hi, we're about to start the sports, guys, but before I do, I just wanted to give you some update on the weather. Still seems that we're going to about have a 20% chance, slight chance of rain tonight. I thought earlier it might be snow, and it could be snow because it's low tonight predicted of about 31 degrees. So depending on where you are, it could be some snow or rain or nothing. Tomorrow mostly sunny, high in the 50s, should be a nice day. And again on Sunday, mostly sunny, there might be a slight chance of rain, about 30% chance in the afternoon. Going into Monday, partly sunny, a little bit lower temperature in the mid-40s, but basically this should be a nice weekend to get out there and play football. And, well, maybe it's not quite football weather, but I have two guests with me today, and I guess they would tell you that, you know, football fans and Wisconsin football fans and Packer fans. And so far, none of the other sports guys have come in. So maybe they just don't want to deal with three Packer fans at once. So my our guest today for the sports program is Emily Kletchen and her husband Robert. And they were both at the University of Wisconsin and became true believers, right?
That's right.
It didn't take much work. You know, they kick you out of the state if you don't become a Packers fan up there.
That's true. And, of course, you were able to tell us a little bit about the best Badger game that you thought you saw when you were at the university. Because you were very lucky. Russell Wilson was playing. Now, you weren't there when J.J. Watt was playing, were you?
Oh, we were there for J.J. Watt, yes.
Oh, okay.
And we saw some great players. I mean, we saw Chris Borland, who had that 1 year in the NFL before famously retiring due to concerns about his health. And Borland ended up getting his degree from Wisconsin, I believe in history, and is doing some really neat things in Europe now.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting to see what some of the former players are doing. I mean, we saw Russell Wilson. We saw Jared Aberderis, who's with the Packers now. And just a whole host of players.
Yeah, who's that backup quarterback for the Packers?
Yeah, Scott Tolzien.
Yeah.
He played a few games in the NFL. Even a few players in the Super Bowl were Badgers.
Yeah, that punter.
Yeah, Brad Nortman of the Panthers. And given the Panthers' offense in the Super Bowl, he got a lot of face time.
Well, let me ask you, because I was watching Aberderis with the Packers. Do you think he's going to make it? I mean, he, you know, he was not great, but, you know, made a few catches. And any ideas, any predictions as to what his future is with the Packers?
I think it's good if he can stay healthy. He had an issue with concussions in college, and then he had, I believe, a shoulder injury that kept him out for a while this season. But he and Jeff Janis came on late.
Right.
And they were basically the only two healthy receivers by the time the playoffs came. And then Jeff Janis had that breakout with the two catches against Arizona.
Yes, we do remember. So, have you been able to go to a Packer game at all when you were in Wisconsin?
We were students at the time, so we didn't really have the financial wherewithal to go to a game. But on our honeymoon, we honeymooned in Door County, Wisconsin, which is like the thumb that sticks out into Green Bay. And it was Packers family night. So the first night of our honeymoon, we spent at Lambeau for the family night, and we bought matching jerseys. that we wear as sweethearts. So that was fun.
Well, I feel like I'm old home week. I won't tell you how long I've been married, but we took a weekend honeymoon, I think one day in Door County. We were at the university when I was married. That goes back a long time. But did you get up to Washington Island when you honeymooned in Door County?
Absolutely.
Well, we may have stayed, although I don't know. The place we stayed was so dilapidated back then it couldn't have still been standing. Ah, we're getting a call.
And we're getting visitors.
So why don't you answer the call, Bill, and we'll keep talking.
Got my mic going?
Hello, who is this? Yes, it is, and this is Ken. Okay, are you going to get in?
Well, it looks like we've got another phone call coming. I wanted to remind everybody we've got our two Green Bay Packer owners here.
That's correct.
They actually have stock in the Green Bay Packers, and I don't know what that entitles you other than to watch them on TV.
You can go to a shareholder meeting, actually, every year, and we actually vote on who's going to be the board of directors. So mm-hmm. we actually, I mean, we have a say in the governance of the organization.
So you could actually fire Clay Matthews if you wanted to.
They don't give us that much power. but it is, I mean, I think it's interesting to get the proxy statements and to vote on who's going to lead the board. And, it's you know, that's a unique experience.
Do the Packers make money?
They certainly do.
Yeah,
and let's see if Ken is on. Ken, are you on now? Nope. Go ahead, talk.
Yeah, the Packers definitely make money, and what's nice about them being a public company is they release their financial statements, and they're the only NFL team
Ken,
that has to
on?
Do that.
So
I'm here.
If you look at their financial statement, you get a very good idea of how the team is doing and how the NFL works and how they get money from things like television rights, radio rights, cable rights, things like that. There must be some very interesting things that you learn if you study those.
Yes, and because of the revenue sharing model, you can learn quite a bit about what most of the other teams do. The one exception is the Dallas Cowboys, who have their own licensing deal with the NFL.
That's right. But Jerry Jones accepted that.
The other 31 go together.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So Wait. What do you mean Jerry Jones accepted that? The NFL accepted that and didn't make him come into the group. And Ken, by the way, say hi to everybody. Ken Milstray, our other sports guy, is on the phone today.
Hi, everybody. I'm here. How's
okay.
everybody doing tonight?
Well, good. And we're talking to a couple Green Bay Packer fans. We know that's why you didn't come in today, that you didn't want to be outnumbered.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't spend one Green Bay Packer fan is enough that way. So, I didn't want to muddy the waters there.
Okay. Well, what are we going to talk about other than football?
I was hoping we'd remind everybody about our first, hopefully, annual trip to see the Lehigh Valley Phantoms tomorrow night. Very excited about that. Looking forward to seeing everybody there, and hopefully some of our listeners.
Since I can't hear Ken, I don't know what to do.
What's that?
Bill can't seem to hear on his.
Yeah, he's coming through on the headphones. That's okay. I think maybe if we turn the volume up over here, we might just get a little lucky.
So, Ken, we're meeting, and the game is actually starting. The game is starting tomorrow night. Doors open at 5:30, but we plan on meeting. Bill, tell me where we're planning on meeting tomorrow. We're planning on meeting about 5 o'clock, and what's the restaurant?
Okay, it's the Allentown Brew Works. It is on, I sent everybody around an email, but it's on 7th and Hamilton. It's right around the arena. The arena is at 8th and Hamilton, and we're looking to see everybody there at 5 o'clock. I am told that on game nights, the place starts to fill up by 3:30, 4 o'clock, with all the hockey fans who are also revelers, and we know how hockey fans can get with a few beers in them. So we try to be very I suggest people get there early and have good appetites.
Okay.
I'll be there. I'll definitely be there. Looking
very good.
Forward to it.
Yeah, Ken.
Hopefully some of our listeners will be there, too.
Very good. Ken, how are we going to get your tickets to you?
He'll meet us at the brew club.
Oh, you're going
to
meet us there?
I'll meet you at the brewery, yep.
Good. And you have everybody's cell phone number, including mine?
Everyone will be able to meet Dawn tomorrow, and all the listeners will be able to meet my wife tomorrow. Well, it'll be very exciting.
Well, you're going to get to meet my wife, too. She's going to come along, sit there, wonder what the game's really about, and eat peanuts.
Ooh, that was not a nice comment.
Well, my wife only tolerates hockey, probably just as much as she tolerates me.
So, again, it's the Brew Works, and I guess what you're saying,
Allentown
Bill...
Allentown
Brew Works, and people should really try to get there even before 5 o'clock.
That's right. I had called to try to get a table for at least 10 people, and they said, we don't do that. Show up and take your chances. But you can get on the list if you call when you're about to leave your house. So let's see if we can get a hold of them and see if we can't grab a table early and see about having a good time.
And I guess anybody who gets there first, grab a table for about 10 people.
That's right. Okay. And we'll look forward to seeing everybody there. It's going to be an interesting game.
And I don't know if you heard this, Ken, when you tuned in, but as I said, we have two Packer fans with us today. And Emily was one of my guests on the earlier program. And so what we found out is not only is she an attorney, she works for the New Jersey Civil Justice Institute. And she and her husband are both Packer fans. And, you know, they came to New Jersey the way most of us do, other than all of you who've been born here, Bill and Ken. And but most of us come here because of work or because we were somehow either good luck or bad luck married to someone who dragged us out here. And we never had heard of New Jersey before that. But
hey, Pat, let me ask you a question. As long as there's three Packer fans in the room, maybe somebody knows this answer. I don't know the answer. How many NFL titles, including Super Bowl and pre-Super Bowl, have the Green Bay Packers won? And I guess part two to that is, have they won the most titles?
I think if you talk about prior to Super Bowl, if you're talking about championships.
Right.
I don't remember how many. Robert, do you? I don't remember how many, but I actually think that if you're talking about championships and Super Bowls, they're right up there.
And I believe it's 8 championships before the Super Bowl and 5 since. I think that's it.
It's 5 since for sure.
Wow,
the Steelers have 6, right?
I think so.
I believe that's the number.
Is that the most? That has to be the most, right? Nobody's won more than that.
I don't think so. I mean, they haven't won as many Super Bowls as some of the other teams, but they, you know, back in the championships. Now, remember that, you know, as I was growing up, you know, there wasn't any Super Bowl. I mean, I remember that first Super Bowl out in California, and that was only after, what, that was in, was it 1960?
It was in 1967, because this is
was
the
it that old?
Year.
Yeah, okay. All right, you're right. Yeah, what am I?
66 season, but it took place in January of 67.
Yes, you're right. So before that, it was you know, they would play the championship games.
So who won the last NFL championship pre Super Bowl? Was it the Packers?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I believe so. I believe they won 66, 67, 68.
We're going to have to Google this and look this up. But that's a lot. That's an unbelievable.
Or, you know,
record,
you could travel to Lambeau and go through the Hall of Fame there where they've got all the trophies. It's pretty impressive.
I've been to the Hall of Fame there. It is very impressive.
Well, but we haven't been, Bill, we have not been to the Hall of Fame since they've redone it. And, in fact, they just dedicated it, or are they going to dedicate it this July? Or was it last July? It was closed for about 15 months, and they've really expanded it, and in fact they expanded the stadium again with the Hall of Fame. I know it was the last time I was not at a Packer game this year, but I was at a Packer game last year, and that was they were then going to shut it down for about 15 months. So as I recall, they either dedicated it last July or they're going to dedicate it this July.
Probably at the shareholders meeting.
Yeah, and what they did was they really expanded all the indoor areas of the stadium, too, so they can hold a lot more events, and really turning it into both a year-round destination and a year-round source of revenue.
Yeah, if we got married again, I think we'd maybe consider
well, doing it there. Ken, what we're talking about, an audience, what we're talking about is the Packer Stadium, Lambeau Field. They do have weddings there. Now, it may be not as long a wait now, but I do know that a few years ago they said it was a 6 or 7 year wait to be able get married at Lambeau. And there were a lot of guys that were going, great, we'll get married at Lambeau. So did you look into that at all?
No, we actually got married in my hometown and then had the reception at my parents' farm. So that was in Missouri, not Wisconsin.
Okay. But no, that is a popular venue for weddings.
I guess if you're a big Packers fan, what better place to have it, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Bar is actually holding their annual convention at the stadium this summer.
Really? So the Wisconsin Bar Association is going to have their convention at Lambeau Field. Is that right?
Yes.
That's excellent.
I've thought about going back just for that. But
yeah. How many games do you get to go to in a year?
Well, they don't. Remember, they were young students out in Madison, so they went to Badger games.
Oh.
The Packer games for most of us when we were students were kind of, you know, a little bit too pricey.
I see. You had to have your grandparents take you or your parents.
No, my parents. You. I would go with my father when I was a kid.
Well, that's exciting. I have to tell you, there's nothing like a game at Lambeau, especially against the Bears in the snow in November. The one time I went there, I watched Brett Favre get down about 30 points and come back and beat the Bears in the last 2 minutes. And it was very exciting. The other thing that was very impressive was that when you arrive at 8 a.m. And you get into the parking lot, the fashion statement are raccoon skin hats, but they don't count unless you shot the raccoon in your yard. I was impressed.
My favorite sign in northern Wisconsin is cheese and taxidermy.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go wrong with that kind of a combination,
that's
can
true.
You?
Well, we were just handed something, so we do want to let people know that the Allentown Brew Works is apparently Fleegley's. And it's at
Fegley's Allentown Brew Works
at 812 West Hamilton Street in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And Bill, you still have tickets, correct?
I still have tickets.
And so anybody who wants to come over, call Bill. Bill, what is your telephone number? Because if anybody, we want to be sure that you have enough tickets. But I think we still have enough extra tickets for tomorrow for anyone who wants to join us.
I think so. My number is 908-405-6833. Once again, 908-405-6833. And we got a good group ticket price of $17 a ticket instead of the usual $25 for individual seating for single games. So I'm looking forward to seeing a good turnout. We have probably only a handful of tickets left, like maybe just 3 or 4. So give us a shout, folks. We're interested in having you come.
And if you want to call Allentown Brew Works, the number is 610-433-7777. So let me ask you, Emily and Robert, are you also hockey fans?
We watched a few games when we were in Wisconsin because Wisconsin's big on college hockey.
Right.
And it's a really fun experience going there because you get the pep band, you get the crowd, and hockey's one of those things that you just have to see in person. TV, even the new high-def sets, just don't do it justice.
No, certainly not.
I agree. And have you, since you've been in New Jersey, now how long have you been here?
Well, almost 3 years now.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it's been that long. Have you been to Princeton at all to see the hockey there? That's a fun place to watch hockey. It really is.
I didn't even know they had hockey, so no.
they have the famous Hobey Baker Rink, which was built in the 20s. And
very small, you know.
Intimate place to watch hockey, but you see great college Ivy League hockey there, and they are also a leader in women's hockey. So you'll see a couple of the people who play on the women's team who you may very well see on the women's Olympic team in the future.
So maybe the only two people who did not play for Wisconsin.
On the Olympic team?
Yes.
Probably.
The men's team at Wisconsin is usually solid, but the women's team is usually one of the best two in the country.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed going and seeing the women's hockey more than the men's. And actually, one of our friends is sort of famous right now. He started making T-shirts for his – they bought season hockey tickets. He started making T-shirts for his kids that play on the players' names. And one is named Jerusevic or something. And so it's Jerusevic Park, and it's got a Jurassic Park logo. But the players love it and are want to buy these T-shirts off his children, and his children are becoming social media stars. it's adorable because their kids are so cute.
Well, and hockey, I have a couple grandkids who play, hockey. They start fairly young. Well, not only in Canada, but Wisconsin. And I know that University of Wisconsin River Falls, my son actually announces their games. Oh. And, by the way, tomorrow night, we haven't told you, but tomorrow night, two of the people attending the game are going to get to ride the Zamboni.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know that's the thing that we hope you will join us, because that's one of the things I know that my grandkids love, to ride the Zamboni. But they're I think St. Norbert's has a pretty good hockey team. And, and of course, the other thing, Bill, and not when I was at Wisconsin, but they really also have a good basketball team. I mean, that they've been, at one point, the only school that in the Big Ten that seemed to have good basketball was Indiana. But how's Wisconsin doing this year? I've watched a couple games, and they don't seem to be, quite as
prominent. Rebuilding year.
Rebuilding.
But rebuilding means they'll probably still make the NCAA tournament.
Well, the last game I watched, almost everybody had four fouls, and I finally thought, they're not going to have anybody to play the rest of the game.
Yeah, we went now that Rutgers is part of the Big Ten, Wisconsin has events at the game. So we went over and watched the men play last year, and we were like, oh, man, we're going to, kill Rutgers. This is going to be great. And we lost to Rutgers. And Frank Kaminsky didn't play because he had, a concussion or something. And it was, the saddest Badger game ever.
But then the next loss Wisconsin had was to Duke in the championship.
Yes.
Well, Duke is always a basketball powerhouse.
Yeah, exciting to watch.
It is. They are. Well, hopefully it was a close score.
Oh, it was a close game.
Good.
Yeah, that was a unbelievable game. But it does seem to me, after, I went to Rutgers Law School. I went to the University of Wisconsin as an undergrad. But I just still cannot believe that Rutgers and Maryland are now in the Big Ten. I mean, it just makes no sense at all.
I think it makes perfect sense. It's truly a financial decision, where Rutgers is going from losing $100 million on athletics within a three-year period to breaking even by about 2020 or 2021. Because the way that these TV contracts work with the Big Ten Network is, once Rutgers and Maryland get their full share, they'll be getting about $40 million a year in TV revenue. And when you're talking about an athletics budget that is something less than $100 million a year, that's substantial. And the Big Ten is one of only a handful of conferences in the country where many of the programs actually do break even without the use of student subsidies.
But that's the point. Why would the Big Ten want Maryland and Rutgers? Now, people out here have argued it's because they'll get more revenue from TV than they would have otherwise.
And it's hard to argue against that. I think it really is the exposure. And yes, Maryland and Rutgers are good universities, and there is the academic collaboration among the Big Ten, as well as with former member of the University of Chicago. But it's mainly seemingly a financial decision. But the same argument was made when Penn State came on in the 90s, as well as when Nebraska came on a few years ago.
Well, my argument, I had the same argument to some extent when Penn State came on, but Penn State, and not Nebraska, but Penn State seemed to be a better fit than I'm sorry, Maryland and Rutgers, or Nebraska.
You're right, Pat. It is weird to hear those teams that were not traditionally in the Big Ten playing the Big Ten schools, but it comes down to finances. Rutgers gives the Big Ten, a big footprint in the New York market. Maryland gives the Big Ten a footprint in the Baltimore, Washington market. You know, Penn State is Penn State. Now they're out in Nebraska too. I mean, the Big Ten generates so much revenue. It's incredible. It helps the schools and it helps the conference as well. And that's, for better or for worse, Pat, that's what it's all about.
Oh, most definitely. But you have to wonder about the future of conference play, because as we know, this is funded a lot by television and cable TV revenues. And as cable television is more and more fragmented by the Internet, you have to wonder whether there will still be the financial resources to devote this kind of money to some of these conferences. We're now seeing that many of the big three networks that I watched as a kid, ABC, NBC, and CBS, are now usually part of a Comcast or some other larger holding company like Disney. And what may happen is, as we continue to see media fragment over the future because of the Internet, you have to wonder about the future of pay-per-view, first of all. Secondly, you have to wonder about the desirability of going to a game and actually...
Oh, no. I don't
finish,
believe
Pat,
that.
Let me finish.
I'm going to cut you off because I do not believe it.
Because you've got the problem of television timeouts interrupting the flow of the game. I was at a hockey game 2 weeks ago, and there were television timeouts, and, it was annoying.
Well, I don't disagree that it's that is annoying when you're at the game, but, for example, guys, do you ever think that Lambeau Field will not be full for every game?
No. Like, Robert's brother is 80,000 on the wait list for season tickets. Like, there's a market for a few years there.
And the only time there you can get tickets at a reasonable price is at the end of November, because half the crowd's out deer hunting.
Well, unless it's a Dallas game, and I have a great story about that, but... the only time that I've ever seen tickets for sale right before the game was the Atlanta game, a year ago. I think it was a year ago. And at that point, they were selling tickets the last week because Atlanta had not sold all the tickets that they had. But even the preseason games, the stadium is full. So, Bill, I just think that people really, there are always going to be those of us who really prefer watching and actually being at the game.
I would prefer to be at the games, too, and because even with a TV timeout, there's nothing like the excitement of pro football or college football. The problem that you have, though, is when you go to see a team that doesn't have the passionate following that Green Bay has. For example, the Jets. Another example might be the Cleveland Browns, who left Cleveland and then came back in the form of another team. They haven't really built up a tradition that the Packers have. To me, the Packers are something unique and wonderful, whereas you have other teams that just don't seem to have inspired that kind of passion in their fans.
Well, you're right, and of course there's so much more to do in this area, but Robert and Emily, one of the things I'll tell you, if you ever go to Giants Stadium, either for a Giants game or a Jets game, what is going to be amazing is by the third quarter, people start leaving, and you're looking around, and by the end of the game, the only people that are left are the Packers fans, even if they're losing. At least we're diehard fans. We stick it in. And I think that there's a little difference also. I think that when they started selling Giants and Jets tickets, a lot of them were bought by corporations. And I see that, I think, the same thing at the Devils games. You see a lot of the games where, I'm sure that some of those tickets have been sold, but nobody's sitting in the seats.
Well, that's true. The last Jets game that I saw was Jets-Packers, and it was the first time I had seen Aaron Rodgers play. And I've been a Jets fan since they started as the New York Titans back in the 60s. And the game was a weird game.
Hey, Bill, if I can interrupt, you're really breaking up.
It was a 9-3 game, and what happened was that no touchdowns. We saw San Antonio Holmes catch a ball, but he was ruled out of bounds. We saw somebody from Green Bay. I think it may have been one of their very talented, probably the most talented wide receiver they have presently, who was injured most of the season, Jordy Nelson. Drop a ball.
The entire season.
Drop a ball in the end zone. And so it was a 9-3 game, and my friend and I were not leaving. We had paid for 60 minutes of football, and we were going to see it. But you're right, Pat. There are a lot of people who, by the end of the third quarter, are on their way out to their cars. And I like to think that most of them are simply people who've been given the seats. And it's interesting. You see more people leaving in a lower bowl than in the upper bowl. In the upper bowl, the people seem to be a lot more passionate. They are led by a cheerleader by the name of Fireman Ed, who wears a Jets uniform and a green New York City Fire Department hat. He's a character, and he's a cheerleader. The one thing that all of us Jets fans have to be proud of is that he can actually spell the word Jets when he's yelling it.
And didn't he step away from the team for a while?
He did. He was, I think, either ill or got annoyed about something, but he's back.
So he's just a fan. He's just a fan.
He's not a Jets employee. I don't think that he really has much to do officially with the team, but unofficially, everybody looks for Fireman Ed.
Well, that's just like there's some characters at Lambeau that, you know, first of all, people start tailgating at about 8 in the morning, and then there's the certain group of, they always have certain, what do we want to say this nicely on the radio?
Antifreeze?
No, well, everybody has antifreeze, but no, I was thinking about certain women's garments that they have hung up, and Ken, you're still there, aren't you?
I think he fell over in shock. But looks like we've got another phone call, folks. Maybe it is Ken Millstrade calling us back.
Okay, hold on. I'll put you back on. Keep talking.
Lambeau's a unique place. I've been to about 10 NFL stadiums, and I haven't seen anything quite like Lambeau yet.
But then,
Ken, have we gotten you back on?
We're back. You know, okay. I heard somebody speak about Lambeau. You know, the NHL is considering having one of their outdoor games at Lambeau Field next year.
That's going to be exciting if that happens.
Really?
I don't know. I guess the Blackhawks will be the home team, I assume.
Probably the Blackhawks and the Minnesota Wild. That would be a real logical connection.
Wow.
Or the Chicago the Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues.
How will they do that, Ken? How would they do that?
They construct a NHL-size arena within the football field, and they, instead of selling 15,000 or 20,000 tickets, they sell, you know, the capacity of Lambeau, probably 60,000 to 80,000 tickets, and they make it they'll make it a real spectacle.
So because of the grass at Lambeau, what would they do? Put an artificial floor in order to?
That's exactly what they do.
Yep, they put the artificial floor on them, and they build the rink on top of it.
Okay.
There's a film, if you go to NHL.com, of exactly how they do this with different fields.
Well, you know, I bet they would fill the stadium.
I'm sure they would.
Emily, Robert, don't
you? February, Pat. They could really have good weather. Hey, do you want to see one of those games? The NHL is having some outdoor games this weekend.
Really? Where?
I believe it's in Denver. I could be wrong, but I think it's in Denver.
Well, Denver can really be very warm. I mean, you know, Denver is, you know, up and down. I mean, you can have easily be a 60-degree day out in Denver. Or it could be
predicting 45 degrees. I know the Blackhawks are playing. I'm pretty sure they're playing in Denver. They're predicting 45 degrees and partly cloudy for Sunday. So that'll be neat.
Well, I think they'd get a good turnout. I really do.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
At Lambeau. You know, because
if
nothing else, people in Wisconsin would want to say the bragging rights, right? They'd want to say, hey, went to Lambeau for a hockey game.
Well, they did a college game outside at Camp Randall in Madison.
They did.
And they got a very good crowd there. But then they did one at the big house at University of Michigan, and they got over 100,000 people there for a hockey game.
Wow.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I think that the Winter Classic is something that has really taken off for the NHL. They had a good idea. Originally, we thought it was just going to be like a New Year's Day single event, but just like anything else that's successful for the NHL or any other league, they've since done it elsewhere, and it's a lot of fun. I've yet to be sitting outside watching one, because there's nothing like going to a hockey game, but I like it indoors. I like being really close to the rink, because to me, hockey is one of those sports you really want to see close up. Unlike basketball, I don't think of it as a perfect television sport. And the problem that I've had with hockey is you don't get to see what the guys are doing, because the play without the puck is almost as important as the play with the puck. And if you watch a lot of football, and I know Pat does and I do and perhaps you do as well, you know, if you go to the game, you see all the other things that are going on besides just the snap and the line play. And there's an awful lot of things that, for whatever reason, television, because it just has to be so focused on one aspect of the game, misses for us. So there's nothing like being there.
Yeah, and that's for, I mean, so many different sports events. And people talk about concerns, say baseball is dying. Attendance in baseball has never been higher. The sport that's struggling with attendance right now actually is college football.
Why do you say really? That? That's, I never knew that. Why do you say that?
That tickets are expensive. The TV experience has gotten so much better, in part because you have all the games on at the major schools now, where 20 years ago you maybe only had half or two-thirds of them.
Well, that's interesting. I am a Temple Owls grad, and you can feel sorry for me later.
Not right now.
But the Owls had a great season. They've come on real well. Unfortunately, they lost their championship game. But exciting players, and you can go to Lincoln Financial Field and see a game for $18.
Well, that may be changing, though. They're looking at building on campus, and they got approval for that.
They did. The city is not happy about it. Many of the students are not happy about it. We're having trouble keeping Ken on. Are you on? We'd rather see them continue to play at Lincoln Financial, because what happens with a lot of college teams is that they're up and down. And just because you've had one or two good seasons doesn't mean that you're going to continue to sign the right guys and get them to want to come to the school. So what happens with Temple is this is the first championship they've won, I think, since before World War II. And having gone to Owls games versus Temple Stadium, which was up in the northern part of the city of Philadelphia, the stadium was built in the 30s. And I didn't know this until very recently, but Pop Warner was actually a Temple coach, I think in 1912 or 1920, something like that. And so Pop Warner football has its genesis in Temple University, as do many other things.
Which is still evident in their level of play today, as I understand it.
Well, unfortunately,
this, of course,
John,
is John Manfredo, who's just come in. Yeah. Emily and Robert are our guests today, as you can see. I guess they had to have you.
We needed some Giants fans to balance out the room here a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
glad you didn't make it, John. It was... It was really creepy there for a while.
It definitely was. But you know, we're having fun here.
Was that Ken?
That's me.
Now, what was creepy?
Oh, being a Giant fan.
Being outnumbered by all these
people. Being outnumbered, yeah. Not being a Giants fan, Bill.
Being outnumbered. Oh, yeah. Well, just don't go holding any firecrackers in your hand.
Well, we got four Super Bowl trophies to hold in our hands, Bill, unlike some other teams, but in any event.
Yeah, but you don't boo Santa Claus the way we Eagles fans do.
Not number one with that. I'm sorry, Ken, I think we cut you off, or we cut our guests off. I'm not sure.
Well, let's see if we can get our guests back on here.
I'm having problems with my phone. I'm going to sign off, but before I do, I want to give a shout-out to the Phillipsburg State Liners wrestling team, who won their third consecutive state title. Which is, you know, we were talking about how many titles the Packers have won before. I think we determined it was the number 13. The State Liners won their 20th New Jersey State title last weekend. And on that note, I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night at the hockey game and at the pregame restaurant. And I'm going to sign off and let you Packers and Giants and Eagles fans battle it out.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Ken. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good evening. See you tomorrow.
Well, you know, we're back with our guests, and let's talk about some of the perks of being a Packers shareholder.
Well, we have the shareholder meeting that we talked about earlier. We can also buy special shareholders merchandise.
Yes, but you can't get a ticket to a game.
No, you don't get tickets to the game, and you don't get to hire and fire the coaches, even when you wish you could, or the players. It's really, you know, a tax benefit to the local community, and people actually ask us a lot, is the stock worth any money? And the answer is no. If the team ever did dissolve, all the money goes to local charities in Green Bay. And they're not. It's not like it's publicly traded either.
Well, how do you buy a share in the Green Bay Packers?
You buy a share whenever they come up for offering. They came up, I believe, in the 1990s briefly. And then
for the first time, this was a scam to raise more money. So some of us old-time
to pay certain players
have never bought shares. But no, it's fun. People enjoy it. But they were never a publicly traded company.
I would think it's the kind of thing you buy and you frame and you put on your wall with an heirloom.
It's like one share of Disney stock.
Exactly.
Yes, and the original shares in the 1950s had more meaning. In that case, they were sold to keep the team in Green Bay.
Exactly.
And then for many decades, the Packers played part of their schedule in Milwaukee to help raise money as well. But then they sold in the 90s to help expand the stadium, and they did again in 2010. That's when we bought.
They actually played in Milwaukee because the state is so large. I mean, remember, we're here in New Jersey. You can travel anywhere. But because of the size and how long it took back in the 40s and 50s to drive to Green Bay, that's one of the reasons where they started playing in Milwaukee. They played at Old County Stadium.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't that Milwaukee County Stadium?
Yeah, it was Milwaukee County Stadium. And then, of course, when they expanded Lambeau, frankly, you could easily buy season tickets for County Stadium, and people probably should have because now they'd have, what is it, the gold package? Are they the gold package or the green package? So, anyway, this is very impressive. It's too bad that people aren't here to see the Green Bay Packers stock certificate. I'm very impressed.
It's very, very beautiful, very beautiful. What I find interesting is there's some other references on here to the Acme Packers.
Well, that's what they started out for, you know, because the Acme Packers actually
were meatpacking.
Yeah. Well, they sponsored the Packers, and actually, you talked about the 1950s. Do you know who was the person who really managed to keep the Packers alive back then?
I'm going to guess it was their hated opponent, George Halas of the Bears.
Exactly. Without George Halas, the Packers would have folded because they just they didn't have enough money. Everybody worked. I mean, my husband grew up in DePere, which is right next to Green Bay, and all these guys worked off-season. And most of them lived in the community.
Well, I want to find out, is Acme Packers the origin of that great food product, Spam?
No, that's Hormel. I've actually been to the Spam Museum over in Austin,
Minnesota.
There
is a Spam Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommended. Austin, Minnesota. It's the headquarters of Hormel. And the Spam Museum, my dad bought a can of Spam and it had an advertisement for the museum on it. And he's like, I know what we're doing for summer vacation.
Yep.
And it was actually a fantastic museum. I highly recommend it.
Spam Museum.
I would say the Spam Museum is a real treat, but that might get into the competitor.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. Well, my brother...
Somebody's got to go there.
My brother and I, both being Monty Python fans, send each other a can of Spam every time one of us has a birthday. I've always gotten a kick out of it. The first time I ate Spam was on a Cub Scout camping trip when I was 8 years old, and it was roasted over a fire on a stick. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that that's similar to my experience. Whenever my mom was out of town, my dad would say, we're eating Boy Scout style, and we'd have Spam heat in the microwave.
Boy Scout style, right.
You know, what's interesting, based on your comment before about what would happen if the company were sold and going to charities, it is a nonprofit corporation. It most likely is a 501(c) corporation, which, as you know, is the federal tax exemption that requires that to maintain its charitable status. One of the provisions in its charter has to require that its assets be distributed to charitable beneficiaries upon dissolution. It would be interesting to see, not that anybody would in their, you know, even the most bitter rival would want to see it, but it would just be interesting to see which charities would benefit from something like that. Oh. What charities they had in mind.
Well, they started this goes back. You can find out because it goes back to.
Oh, well, the charter charities would be a public record, so it could be. But since I know that our guests are devoted to a pack of obscure minutiae, it might be an interesting research project to figure out if the Packers were disassociated, where would their assets go? There's certain teams in the league that you wouldn't need to ask that question about because they have no assets, no character, and no charities would have them. But outside the confines of Philadelphia, the other teams, I guess, could make it.
Yeah, but the point is the Packers are not owned by an individual.
Yes. Well, there are several teams that are that way, which are nonprofit. The Packers aren't they were the first one, but I believe there are several others.
I didn't know that. I thought that if the Packers were to dissolve, money would have to go to places like the YMCA's or
whatever the charities are, if it's designated, or a board of trustees that would pick appropriate charities.
Exactly.
No, they're already selected.
But they should. They're in the charter, and typically the charter says, but if those charities don't exist anymore, you have to pick similar charities. And but anyway, not to get into a legal discussion. Well, some said we would rue the day that something like that would be the problem. And it's just a wonderful tradition. I mean, and it's like the Celtics in basketball, perhaps the Canadians in Yankee, in Canadians in hockey, and maybe the Milwaukee Brewers in baseball.
I don't know about the Brewers.
The Kansas City Royals,
Houston
Astros have now switched leagues.
John, if they could dig up Stalin and Khrushchev and move them from the Kremlin Wall to someplace else, I guess they could move the Houston Astros from the National League to the American League.
Absolutely.
You know, I actually think that probably the other most loyal fans are the Edmonton Oilers fans in hockey, because there's nothing else to do in Edmonton.
Well, if you've ever been
all brain dead to be a resident of Edmonton, you have to qualify.
No, you're not brain dead. I've actually been to Edmonton Oiler games in Edmonton, and I can tell you that
they're brain dead, right?
Yeah, keep going, Bill.
they're not brain dead. They're frozen.
You really don't want your bankruptcy judges to know you've been there, Bill. That's going to undermine all your legal arguments.
But you know what's really cool? When I was there, while they were still in the WHA, and when an Edmonton defenseman got the puck and skated out from behind
Edmonton
his
neck. Edmonton defensemen were faster than most teams' forwards.
Well, that's right. And what would
Paul
happen—
Paul Coffey, and who was the other guy?
Paul Coffey, Yari Kurri. All those guys did that. They skated fast to stay warm, I think. But people would pull out cowbells and start ringing them as they would skate up the ice, and it was really exciting to listen to that.
So anyway, we don't mean to bog you guys down in our bad humor and minutiae.
Hey, we've got plenty of our own.
What do you think the Packers are going to look for first in the draft? What's their agenda? What's on their wish list for the draft?
I would say a tight end. They're pretty solid on receivers if everyone's healthy, but they, like almost everyone else, needs one of the new generation of spread-the-field tight ends.
You're not talking about a guy that can also block for them.
Blocking is nice, but optional, I would say.
In today's offense, it's the passing game. You catch the ball. They'd rather have a guy who can catch 90 balls and mediocre blocker than a guy who's a great blocker and catches 13 balls.
And the Packers are one of the few teams that regularly use a fullback.
So, and he's a blocking back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everybody thinks, you know, I don't know about you, but the first time I watched television and they talked about Kuhn and you heard all of this, you thought they were booing. And you ever notice that when you watch?
Yeah, you hear that. Yeah. Anytime you have a guy like Lou, yeah. And yeah, there's a bunch of, you think they're booing.
Only
yeah.
With Kuhn do they say that. I mean, you know, that's the only time that you hear.
There's actually a couple of professional players you watch it on TV and you think they're booing. There are a couple others. I can't think of any right now, but there are some others.
They're saying boo words.
Oh, bad Simpsons reference. Yes.